and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Christopher Cruz in the Washington Bureau. The Coast Guard says nothing has turned up so far in the search for a five-person submersible that was bringing people to see the wreck of the Atlantic.
Efforts are centered about 900 miles off Cape Cod, Massachusetts. U.S. Coast Guard Captain Jamie Frederick.
Our crews are working around the clock to ensure that we are doing everything possible to locate the Titan and the five crew members.
The Coast Guard says as of early afternoon today, the vessel has about 41 hours of oxygen left for the five on board. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Make that the wreck of the Titanic. American and Canadian ships and planes are searching the area the size of Connecticut. President Biden's son has settled federal criminal charges. CBS's Stephen Portnoy has details.
It's a plea deal, which has Hunter Biden admitting to two misdemeanor tax offenses and avoiding jail time. A felony count related to his possession of a handgun while he was an admitted drug user would be set aside if Hunter Biden complies with the terms of his two-year probation. Under the agreement, the Justice Department would close its investigation into the president's son, which at times focused on allegations of money laundering and illegal lobbying.
The U.S. attorney who's overseen that investigation was appointed to the post by then-President Trump and has stayed on through the Biden administration. Republicans, as you can imagine, aren't happy about the deal, among them House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
My first reaction is it continues to show the two-tier system in America. If you were the president's leading political opponent, the DOJ tries to literally put you in jail and give you prison time. If you are the president's son, you get a sweetheart deal.
High heat and humidity have descended over much of Texas, and people are sweltering in Louisiana as well, says KSLA-TV reporter Tamer Knight in Shreveport.
It's been pretty hot.
Thousands of residents are still dealing with extreme heat and no power after last week's severe weather. Now, there's a high demand for electricity, ice, and food. The Caddo Parish Commissioner set up six ice distributions across the parish.
Oh, we are very blessed. We thank God. We couldn't find no ice nowhere yesterday.
China and Cuba are talking about creating a joint military training facility on the communist island nation, which sits just 100 miles from Florida. CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland says the deal could backfire on Cuba.
Cuba has to move very cautiously in this regard to avoid provoking the United States at a time when the Cuban economy is in pretty disastrous conditions. And obviously they would like to see an ease of economic sanctions by the United States, improve trade between the United States and Cuba.
It's been a down day on Wall Street almost since the open. The Dow is off more than one half of 1%. S&P 500 down 17, NASDAQ down 26. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year, which means...
Wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah, that's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match. Only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
Staples has everything you need to help run your small business. Shipping supplies and services to help move orders out the door. Print and marketing services so you can print signs, banners, and presentations fast. And now during Staples Small Business Deal Days, you save 50% when you buy any combination of five or more boxes, mailers, and shipping tubes. Plus, find new deals for small business in-store every week. Keep your business running right and safe at Staples. Offer valid in-store online order pickup and Instacart. Exclusions apply. Not valid in Concord, New Hampshire location. Prices may vary. N71.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186. 954-1186.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303. Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear tonight with a low of 59. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow, high of 87. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night, lows of a low of around 59. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Thursday and Friday and highs in the upper 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 85.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this June 20th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. At 3:30, we're going to talk with our friends from the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Right now, in studio with us, our great friends from Love, Inc. We have Jan and Jonah with us. Would you both mind introducing yourselves so the audience knows whose voice is whose?
Hi, I'm Jonna Cronholm. I've been a volunteer with Love, Inc. for quite a few years already, kind of from the inception. Served on the board for a while, and then am a committee chair for a couple of the committees that we have. So also volunteer at the thrift store, which you're going to hear about in just a bit.
Jonna, thank you for that. Jan, mind telling us a little about you?
Jan Fisher, hello. I'm the volunteer coordinator at Love, Inc., and so I work with volunteers, helping them find their passion in the place where they want to be to serve the community. And I love the thrift store, too.
Yeah. I'm very excited to talk about the thrift store. Before we dive too deep into it, would you mind touching on Love, Inc. in general? And just reminding the audience, and maybe for those out there listening who aren't familiar with the mission and the statement and what Love, Inc. is all about.
Well, we actually partner with 19 area churches right now, and our goal is to mobilize the churches to help our neighbors in need. Mm-hmm. And this is done in several ways. We have some other ministries that the churches participate in, like our moving ministry. We have household items available for our neighbors in need. Of course, we have our prayer team, and we take care of getting backpacks to anyone leaving the Wood County Jail. Mm-hmm. So you can see we're quite involved in the community.
Yeah.
I might add too, Jan, our transformational ministry that I chair, the development team, that we have life skill classes. Mm. And you know, those classes are intended to help people, not just our clients, but also people that are sitting in the pews or our community to learn some skills, to process through some of the things that they're dealing with right now. Our class is on healing damaged emotions. Mm. And we had 31 people sign up, compared to 12 from some of our beginning classes. So, we're just finding a need in the community for people to, to process through and to give each other mm-hmm. support. That's what's really the beauty of these lifestyle classes. So
it really does speak to the need when you hear that 31. Mm-hmm. That tells you something mm-hmm. right there. And I've talked with a CEO of our United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns, about this quite a bit, mm-hmm. On air, off air, how when I first moved here, it felt like a lot of great nonprofits in the area, but it was a bit of crabs in a barrel. It was a bit of, we're doing this, we're doing this. And it was, multiple organizations doing similar things. And now we have much more of teamwork, a much more of a coordinated attack almost, and working together. Oh, you guys are covering this, we're going to cover this. It's very similar with our churches. And when I think of what Love, Inc. is doing, I think of a stronger community, a more connected community. We could always use a little bit more of that. That doesn't seem like a bad thing at all. And we need a great thrift store. We need thrift stores. Thrift stores are great. I don't know if the audience out there is familiar with this or not, but one of the biggest things with the younger generation is thrift stores. They mm-hmm. love thrift stores. That's where they go. They do it. It's not the niche thing anymore to buy a new shirt. It's now cooler to buy something that somebody else owns. I can't keep up with fashion. I have no idea. You see how I'm dressed. But they know what they're doing. And you guys know what you're doing, because having a thrift store is a very good idea for multiple reasons. Let's get into the thrift store, and when it's opening, let's talk about the details of the shop.
Well, we opened a week ago.
Yeah.
We're open 4 days a week, Wednesday through Saturday. And all the proceeds from the thrift store go to support the loving ministry. Mm-hmm. So John was talking about the transformational classes. If you have 31 people in class, that means you need 31 sets of materials.
There's a little expense there.
Thrift store is going to help finance things like that, plus our other ministries.
Yeah.
John, talk a little bit about the setup and how much time you spent painting to get ready.
The building we're in, it belongs to the owners, our Accurate Auto, which is right next door. And I think a lot of community people, from what I've heard, I go there. You know, the landlord is just awesome. So, you know, and is just fair and generous. So, we actually, Karen Benke and her husband Todd are the kind of the spearheaders of it. They were there a lot. And, Karen actually, others started, but I think it took 3 days to wash the floor. And she had mentioned that there was some kind of fumes that it seemed like, you know, that had kind of lingered in there. So now that the doors are open and windows are wide and we have, you know, some air conditioning in there, you know, that there's not that issue. But and you know what's fun about that, though, is people come together and work together. You know, we laugh, we giggle, we, you know, compare. And, you know, there's just such a, you know, a loveliness about being together and working together for a common goal. So, and we started, May 1st, I think, is when we got the keys and, you know, then opened up on June 14th. So we were there almost every day, not Sundays, of course, but and probably not too many Saturdays either. But, just pricing things, learning, you know, this is all new to us, too. So we really, you know, we did a lot of research. We've had some volunteers, you know, that have kind of taken their own little specialty niche. For instance, there's two ladies, Lottie McDermott and Margaret Grandine, who are manning the books. So Margaret actually went over to Diamond Dollar, and they've been very generous too with giving us advice and, But anyway, Margaret went over there and she kind of priced the books, and we decided, okay, now we know, you know, how to price them, because we don't want to be more, but we don't want to be less, you know. And people have said, customers that have come in, that, you know, they really like the reasonable prices that there are. They can afford them, and, you know, our aim too is to have nice things, you know. So we'll be discarding and saving and using, you know, some of the clothing that's not in, you know, that's pilling or maybe has some stains. We're going to be distributing them for textiles and using them in a different manner. So
Love Inc. is a national organization, and with that, you know, it's a I like to do my homework whenever you all are joining us, and I was looking into it, and I just immediately thought, this is something that a lot of Love Inc.'s do, and it must be something that is just common or whatever. And I'm looking in, and I'm looking, and I'm not seeing that. I'm like, wait a minute, did you all do this on your own? And sure enough, as I dig a little bit deeper, it's like, yeah, you guys decided to do this on your own. First off, congratulations, getting this off the ground. That's amazing, especially when you don't have a background with this, when you don't have like a skeleton necessarily or an outline to how to do this. I think that's just amazing. So a big congratulations to all of you for that. But where did the idea come from? Do either of you know? Did this start with another group, or how did this kind of form?
Actually, our past executive director, who had worked with other ministries in other states, had opened thrift shops.
That's what I was wondering. Okay.
And so that it was his, he was the seed.
Sure. Yeah.
We got ready to bloom, and he moved on.
Ain't it the way? Ain't it the, we know a little something about that around here. Yeah, we get you. Jonah, you're talking about some of the ways that this came about and the work that was being done behind the scenes for it and everything. So about how long, was it about a year before we were able to open the doors, or how long did it take to kind of get the building ready and going?
Well, again, we got the keys in May. I'm trying to think. Our household items ministry, well, and Larry. You know, Larry Doffenbaugh was the previous executive director, and he's had experience in that.
Yeah.
He started in February of 2021, was it? Or he was with 20, us.
That sounds 22. About right.
Okay.
That
he was with about us right. about a year. Mm-hmm. And again, he had had the experience. And the thrift store is a way that we can also be more sustainable. Mm-hmm. You know, we still do rely on our donors, mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, this way we just have more freedom to be able to, you know, to expand and to grow and that type of thing. So, you know, as you can imagine, any organization takes a fair amount of, you know, of money. You know, mm-hmm. we have to pay the light. You have to pay the utilities, you have to pay salaries, mm-hmm. You know, so this just allows us to just be more free with some of the programming and the creativity that we can do. So, but I do want to mention other national inks throughout the nation do have resale shops. Mm-hmm. You know, they call them boutiques.
Yeah.
But Larry was, because of the way our community is, you know, Larry really mm-hmm. steered us towards that thrift store concept. Not just Larry, but, you know, other people that mm-hmm. did some research. So, but yeah, we had thought about this way back maybe 3-4 years ago and done mm-hmm. some initial, we even talked to Bethesda people, you know, and, you know, Bethesda was a really wonderful thrift store in the community and served a great need. And there was a lot of grieving when Bethesda closed down with both the workers as mm-hmm. well as the customers. So, we did get a little focus group maybe 3-4 years ago together just to talk to them about how we should do this. So it's been going on for a long time, James. So
I think most of the items you would come to find at a thrift shop, you're going to find here. But are there other unique things, are there other things people should keep in mind when it comes to the items that they might find there or items that they can bring there? I want to get to that, too, in a moment.
There you go.
Well, one of the things that isn't common is the furniture that we carry. Mm. And we have not just the small lamps and tables, but right now we've got a beautiful couch that we have displayed. Mm. So however much room we have, we fill with furniture.
Right. That's a great answer, Jen. That's a great answer.
And then we have some new items. We have new children's shorts right now and Brewer shirts.
Oh, good. Good timing. Yeah. Good timing.
I wish they fit me. Yeah, exactly. We have some new adult footwear. Mm. And then along with, like you say, the things you'd expect to find, clothing, books, games, puzzles, houseware items, linens. We have a lot of linens right now.
Very cool. Thank you, Jen. Are you guys accepting items right now? And if you are, what are the conditions that we're looking for here? What is kind of the bar for that?
Well, you know, it'd be wonderful if everything was just like brand new.
Yeah, yeah. It would be nice.
It's not working out that way, but we want to give the people that shop their things of value. Mm-hmm. That helps them feel their value. And we can't do that if it's worn or stained or beat up at all. And we do accept donations whenever we're open, which again is Wednesday through Saturday. And there's a side door they can come to. We aren't limiting amounts at this time.
That's very cool. That I imagine that's been welcomed with a lot of grace, a lot of thankfulness. When it comes to these items, too, if you're sitting there and you're looking at something and you're thinking about it, it's not that, I would never, this is in shreds, so I can't wear it anymore. It's, maybe it doesn't fit me anymore.
Right.
Or maybe it's exactly. something along those lines. We all have clothes like that, or we have items like that. And not only thinking about if you would use this item, but I think another good parameter might be, I worked at Goodwill for a couple of years, and we ran into this a little bit there, where some people would try to bring by an engine. And it's like, we can't, what are you doing? We got no room for that, man. What are you doing? Like, things that just didn't work with the store. You know, asking ahead before you leave the house is always a good idea. Don't just show up with these items. Save yourself the trip, save yourself some time, possibly, in calling ahead. But thinking about, is this an item that I just don't have use for anymore, as opposed to an item I don't want? Mm-hmm. There's a big difference, I think. An item that you don't want is something that you're probably just going to throw away. Mm-hmm. But an item you don't have use for could still have use to another person.
Definitely.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think keeping that in mind is going to help you a lot with this and help contribute to Love Inc. Because when you're spreading the word about the thrift shop, or anything like that, or if you are donating items to there, you are helping Love Inc. do the work that they're doing, which is vital work in our community. You guys are doing some great stuff around here. We want to help keep you up, keep you working, keep you busy. That's what I want to do, is keep you guys busy, is what I'm trying to do.
Well, thank you.
I suppose. You kind of thank me now. I do want to take some time to talk about the junk electronics drop-off coming up in August, if you don't mind, but I don't want to skate too far ahead. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about the thrift store before we move on?
Well, I thought that was perfect, because most of the things that are junk electronics are things we can't take.
Yeah, there you go. Man, there's the segue. All right, I see what you mean. I like Jan. That's good, Jan. Let's talk about it. Yeah, it's coming up Saturday, August 19th.
That's correct. No expense to drop things off. I'll just read off a couple of the things that we'll be taking. Microwaves, power tools, those tube TVs.
No.
Where normally you have to pay $35 to $50 to get rid of them. All of these we're taking at no charge. Cell phones, computers, stereos. The list goes on. Mm-hmm. And we will have this posted on our website.
You know, we promote and love talking about Choose to Reuse and events like that in our area. Very important events, because there's so many, especially the more and more tech we get, the more and more of these items we have, and we don't know how to get rid of them. And I'm so proud and thankful for our society right now. It's just in our area here. When I was a kid, people would just throw this stuff anywhere, and it ended up hurting our planet, ended up hurting a lot of other things, and et cetera, et cetera. Nowadays, it's not only unheard of to do that, but you hear other people calling other people out for that. And I really appreciate that, and just as much appreciate that we have an event where we can bring these items, because they are still piling up. I've got like four laptops I have no idea what to do with. They just don't work. They don't work. When it comes to an event like this, is there anything people should keep in mind for the things that they can't bring?
Again, we've got a list of what's acceptable, and beyond that, they aren't taking it.
That list, is it available online?
Yes, it'll be on our website at loveincswc.org.
Yeah, we'll give that website again before we let you guys out of here today. It's a great website, a really nice website as a side note.
And that's all done by a volunteer.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, shout out to that volunteer. They're a great job. They do a great job. Big thank you to them.
And speaking of that, there's a lot of people in our community. The community has been so generous with their donations, the time they're giving to the thrift store. But we could always use a few more volunteers. And Jonna pointed out earlier today, the volunteers are getting something out of being there as well.
Oh, yeah.
One of them said it's the most joyful place she's been in a year.
That's cool. That's really cool. I had in my notes to wrap up with volunteering, but as long as we're on it, and I have a volunteer coordinator here with me and everything, we should probably hit on that a little bit. So I have mentioned this before with the ADRC. I've done Meals on Wheels before and some events like that. I've gotten more into charitable work in my time here back in Wisconsin, and have really been doing whatever I can when I have what free time I do, which is non-existent. But when I can, I love doing these things. And I got a lot of stresses in my day, like most everybody out there. And you're balancing, oh, do I have time for this? Or can I fit this into my day and that? But one of the most relaxing things that I can do and think of is volunteering. And it feels great to be able to help any organization or anything that you're working on. And I'll just go to Meals on Wheels just as an example that's fresh in my head. But the people that I was dropping the meals off to, we had good conversations. I never left anybody without smiles. Mm-hmm. I guarantee I probably got more out of it than they did.
Yes.
I almost am positive that I did. And I know they felt good from it. I know how happy they were, how genuinely excited they were when I showed up the next day or the week later or what have you. But to this day, and I'm not trying to be mean here or anything, but I imagine that I know for a fact that at least one of the people that I dropped that meal off is no longer with us. I'm still here. And not only do I remember him and keep his memory alive, but I remember the time I spent with him and talking baseball and getting into debates about that and everything. And it's having great conversations where I look at the clock and like, oh, I'm running late. I got to go.
Other people want to
eat. Again, I'll live off this the rest of my life. This is stuff that volunteering gives you. This is the definition of volunteering, I don't know if is correct when you look it up on Webster's or any of these things, and it's about giving of your time. You don't give your time. That you are giving time right now, but you are helping future you. Future you is going to benefit from this feeling of volunteering so much. It's stuff that you live on. That what I'm talking about, that Meals on Wheels, was like almost 10 years ago I did that. Like, and I'm still feeling good from it, let alone the current volunteering that I do or anything else. Especially for those out there, and we talk so much about mental health nowadays and great ways of helping mental health and helping your own mental health. Volunteering is one of the best things you can do for your brain. It's one of the best things you can do for your body, your soul, all of that.
Well, and what you just described is a relationship with the people you saw, whether it was once a week or however frequently. And I think that's important. Our clients, our neighbors in need that we serve depend on the relationship, the conversation. They look forward to you coming and helping do the task to solve their problem. But I think that knowing you care is what really makes the difference. And taking the time, which all our volunteers do, most of them, to pray with our clients. Because there's some of them, no one's ever prayed with them before, and they haven't been introduced to our Lord. And that's a chance for us to do that as well.
Any opportunities in life to have these chances to grow or to help to put back into your community or that, there's no real words for it. There's no real way to describe that feeling. We're trying, but you're not unable. They just haven't invented words yet to describe that feeling of how great it feels. We can talk about joy and love and happiness and all that, and it's true. Those words fit, but even with them all together, it doesn't seem to really put it all together completely. In fact, I think you're just going to have to volunteer, everybody. You're just going to have to volunteer. It's the only way you will truly understand what we're talking about here. We'll get to information on how people can volunteer before we wrap up. I did want to go into a little bit of the details on the shop, the thrift store, when it's open, what days of the week it is open, etc.
Yeah, we're open Wednesday through Saturday, and the Wednesday through Friday hours are from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m., and then Saturday we close at 3. So, and as Jan mentioned earlier, right now we're accepting donations during all of that time frame. So,
is it a good idea to call ahead, even with the simplest of items, or just go ahead and come
back? You probably don't need to. Just stop at the door that's to the left of the building as you face it. And someone will be there to greet you and to help you carry things on in. So,
and the location?
We are at 401 12th Avenue South. Right next, we're in the same building as the Accurate Auto. So our sign went up on opening day in the midst of our long line. So that was kind of interesting.
I was wondering how that worked.
Yeah, big old cherry picker came. But you can see the sign very well as you turn the curve coming towards, to north. So, so it's not too hard to miss. So.
And we touched on this a little bit, but things are going good over there. You guys are seeing a good flux of people and enjoying that. And I know I've heard from community members that they're enjoying it, but from your perspective, you're enjoying it. It's going well.
It is.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Surprisingly, we leave with smiles and it's serving the purpose that we intended for it to. So
very happy to hear that.
Yeah.
And as far as the junk electronics drop off coming up Saturday, August 19th, where is the location for that? The times?
Okay. That is from 9 till 1. And it's at the parking lot at Emmanuel Lutheran School.
Okay. And again, accepting electronics at no cost for this event. And I'm looking at this list of items, and I'm having a hard time thinking of an item that's not on the list that's electronic. That is really nice. That is going to be so helpful to the community when it comes to getting rid of these things. And I imagine hopefully will be helpful to Love Inc. as well.
That's right.
Come around full circle with that. We're not using these things. They're just sitting there collecting dust or worse in some cases. So for you guys to be able to get any kind of use out of them and for us to be able to get them out of our houses and that and our apartments and everything, talk about a win-win. That is going to be great.
Well, and you talked earlier about the environment. The company that's coming in and doing this with us will will actually pay us mm-hmm. for what we collect. Yeah. So it's a fundraiser for us, but then it gets recycled. So it's not alongside the road or sitting mm-hmm. in the woods. Yeah. Or...
And that just, again, is a win-win-win for all of us mm-hmm. on that one. So that will be coming up on August 19th. We'll certainly be talking more and more about it as it comes up. We may even have you guys back before then to kind of promote the event and talk about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I did want to mention one more time about volunteering, whether it is with the thrift store or maybe for you want to help out with the junk electronics drop-off or really any of the events. Mm-hmm. Love, Inc. has got events going on all the time. They could always use an extra set of hands.
Right.
And when you volunteer with any nonprofit, you're always going to feel good. There are ones that have different meanings to different people, I would think. And I would imagine that when you are working with Love, Inc., you're going to get a different jolt than you would maybe with another organization. So not only are we encouraging you to volunteer, I want to encourage people to volunteer with multiple organizations.
Yes.
It is a great idea, and it fills the soul. I've heard this phrase recently about filling your cup. And the idea of that mm-hmm. and the things that can do it. And don't fill your cup up with negatives. Don't fill your cup up with these things. And I can't think of a better way to fill that cup up and keep it filled and maybe stay hydrated than volunteering. Mm-hmm. Volunteering is one of the greatest ways you can do that. If people do want to volunteer, Jan, how can they get a hold of you? Or what is the best way to find out how to find out about volunteer opportunities?
Okay, well, once again, on our website, mm-hmm. we have our volunteer application. Or they can give me a call directly at 715-818-5928. And again, that's 715-818-5928.
And that website that we've been referencing is loveincswc.org, loveincswc.org. It is a fantastic website. You please tell that volunteer. They're doing a great job on that.
We'll do that.
And tell the whole team over there. We appreciate them. You guys are all doing a great job. Thank you so much for everything you're putting into our community. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the time. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson and Watts. GTWLawyers.com.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Mainly clear tonight with a low of 59. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow, high of 87. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night, lows of aloft around 59. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Thursday and Friday and highs in the upper 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 85.
Welcome, everyone. Well, welcome back to Midday Magazine, 3:30 on your clock. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here, and we're joined right now by Ben Eberlein, Community Engagement Director with United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Good morning, Ben.
Hi, James. Good
afternoon. I keep doing that. Good morning, good afternoon. It's all, time is relative. Thanks
yeah,
for being
here. Yeah, which
day is it? It doesn't matter. Time's a flat circle. We appreciate you being here, Ben. Just got to see you the other week over at United Weekend. Nice job with that event.
Thank you so much. Hey, we wouldn't be able to do it without volunteers like yourself. We had 90 volunteers that helped make that event possible. So I really can't take the credit, but I appreciate you saying that. And thank you for your help.
I know that you not alone are kind of in charge of the event, but you really make it happen, man. And I just want to make sure that you realize that you've been, in the time that I've known you, in the work that you've been doing there, not only have you gotten more comfortable at it, but you really, to me, found your niche. You found something that you really excel at, that I could see your passion. passionate about, but you're also good at. So keep up the great work, man. It's going good.
You're way too kind.
I'm just reading what Terry wrote.
Oh,
it's exactly
okay.
What she wrote. It's like, I know that you have an outline. You have some things that you want to make sure we get to. Is the great book giveaway in there? Is that how many books you guys gave away? Because I thought you had a release about that I really appreciated.
Yeah, I'm glad you saw that. Yeah, the great book giveaway, a fantastic event, went excellent this year. We had 9 events, so which is a blast that we've been able to increase that in the last couple of years. 256 kids came out and attended. We were able to give away over 880 books. So those kids are able to take books home for free that they get to keep all summer long and keep reading. So it was fantastic. Miss Teen Wisconsin Rapids was a featured volunteer. Mm-hmm. So we had 15 volunteers, and Miss Teen Wisconsin Rapids was amazing. She came out to every event and read.
She's awesome.
And just incredible too. Just, you know, she didn't just show up and read a book, right?
Yeah.
She was interactive with the kids that were in attendance and asked some amazing questions, and you can tell they were making a great connection at every event. So you were really grateful for her making that commitment.
Last year I got to do it, and right over at the zoo, and I hadn't done this before, so I didn't really know what to expect. And I got there, and not only were the volunteers had already everything set up, and I thought I got there early, but they had everything already set up and stuff. But it was a couple who have been doing it for years. And I got talking to them a little bit, and as I'm talking to them, I'm seeing the kids start to show up. And it was kind of cool to see about, you know, maybe 5 or 6 different families. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a really nice turnout. Cool. And I turn around and I go talking to them, and I'm looking at all these books. And there's 2 card tables filled with books. It's insane. I'm so excited. I'm trying to figure out which one I want to read to the kids. And I glance over my shoulder, and it has doubled in people. And I'm like, oh, this is a bigger turnout than I'm performing all of a sudden. I'm not just reading a book. And I any opportunity to perform, of course, I'm going to do it. I enjoy it. I had just as much fun as I think the kids did.
I think more, probably.
Maybe.
I'm kidding.
I want to make sure that next year we get a lot of volunteers for this, and I encourage people to check it out. Dropping off your great, gently used books, certainly. But if you get a chance to read to the kids, take that opportunity. I missed it this year. I really did. As this event was going on, every day I was thinking about, man, I should be there than working, or I should be there instead of teaching or something. I really wanted to be down there for that. It's a fun event. The 880 books. That's a great number. It sounds really good, and it's a really cool headline. And it's just great on the surface. But for me, I have Terry's voice in my head a lot, actually. But this is one of those moments where it's actually fitting, where her popping up in my head and talking about how important it is keeping kids reading through the summer. And it's well and good, and parents have great intentions with it. But, you know, I think, oh, well, here you go. I do what my grandfather did for me. And here's Uncle Tom's Cabin when you're 10. Like, that's not exactly what we're talking about here. Kids want to read what they want to read, no different than adults. Giving them options, giving them opportunities to pick the book, that's going to be that much more easier to get them reading, I think. And just from what the stats tell us, and something that Terry has mentioned before. So that 880 books is great. That's a cool number. But I don't see a number there. I see words. I see kids reading. Is that a lot of the feeling for you and the team? Is that one of the things that you guys in the aftermath of the event are kind of like, wow, this is pretty big. This is pretty great what we just did.
Oh, absolutely. It's huge. And one of the things that I think that's really easy to forget a lot of the times is access.
Yes.
Just because, you know, a kid might be interested in, you know, whatever book it is, you know, if they don't have that book, they can't read it, right?
Yeah.
Especially, you know, when we're talking about Alice families, Alice households, which, I mean, United, you've been around, you know, talk with Terry enough in United Way that that is a major focus, and we're going to get into that a little more too, what Alice is in the upcoming presentations. But those Alice households who they are earning less than and the lesson it takes to survive.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't necessarily have the means or the income or the ability to provide the books, or especially not, like you said, the ones that the kids might be the most interested in. So if we can fill that need, and we can have these free events, give away, you know, thousands of books and make sure that those children have that opportunity, and they can prevent the learning loss that does occur over summer when, I mean, you were a kid once. I know I was. Learning was the last thing on my mind over summer break. So if we can get those books, you know, in their hands, give that access to that learning to them, give them the opportunity. And so take those home, just leave them out, and get reading.
Some years back, my mom dropped off some books, and I would think that I know, just because I've talked to her about it before, if not the most important thing, top three most important things to my mother is reading. It's her favorite thing to do, but it's also something that she believes so strongly in. And me, her oldest, I have dyslexia. I have a little trouble reading, and I think it may have been even more of an issue for her because of that. When my brother and sister don't have that issue, and it was like just books. It was always books. It was either gifts or what have you. But we got older. We didn't take all those books with us when we left the house, still in pretty good condition and everything. What do you do with these books? They take up a lot of space after a while. I can't think of another human being I've ever met in my life that loves books or reading more than my mother. And even if she was like, I got too many books. Being able to get these out of your house, clear up a little clutter, it helps everybody. It's part of what summer's all about. But to be able to donate an item feels great. Donating to something like this, I don't believe that there are words for it. I don't think that you can really put it into. I asked her about this last year when I was going to do the event because I didn't know that she had done this. And I was like, well, Mom, I'm going to be interviewing the United Way and stuff. Like, how did it feel? What did you do? And she just sat there for a good couple minutes trying to think about what words she could use. Just a smile was on her face. She didn't really have the words for it. And I think she was right. I don't know if you could really put this into words, the feeling. You just got to do it. Just got to volunteer. You got to drop off some books, read to some of these kids. There's other great opportunities coming up with the United Way to volunteer. Do it. Go ahead and do it. And if you don't have that feeling afterwards, james@civicmedia.us, you go ahead and write me. You go ahead and reach out to me because I would be shocked if you don't. That's how confident I feel about this. I put my name on that. You volunteer, you're going to have a feeling. You're going to have emotions that you don't even know how to describe.
Yeah, that's part that I love too. And like you said, the smile is what says it all. Not only just when you're volunteering or donating the books, any of our volunteers will attest to this, but when you see a kid is so excited, they're, you know, fighting over books practically, you know, that's so much, you know, it's so inspiring to see that level of engagement when you have kids that probably, you know, would love to be out and doing something else when you get them engaged with reading and all of a sudden it sparks something in them. You can see it on their face and they're so excited to go home and read. So thank you. I appreciate you being such an advocate for specifically, as I know, Imagination Library is really close to your heart as well.
Yes.
Some just really fantastic things that we can do to help give our kids an advantage.
We're a team. All of us. We're all a team. We all got the same goal here. We're speaking with Ben from the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. And Ben, you mentioned at the Alice Report and some of the meetings coming up soon, or the conference kind of coming up soon. The way I'm looking at it is a conference, but when is that? What are the dates of it? And what is the event itself?
Yeah, I definitely want to make sure to invite everybody. We have an event coming up, presentations. Basically, we're going to be going over the latest Alice report. So anybody that wants to come and learn a little bit more about Alice, what that means, the financial hardship in our community, we have Alice presentations coming up on Thursday, June 22nd. That's this Thursday at McMillan Library here in Wisconsin Rapids from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And again at 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. So you have two opportunities on Thursday, June 22nd at McMillan Library. We also have an opportunity coming up on Tuesday, June 27th. And that's in Adams County at the Adams County Community Center. And that's 9 a.m. to 10 a.m.
It's a great opportunity to come meet Alice. And understand what that is. For the audience that may not be familiar with the term, can we get into the term for a moment of what Alice means?
Absolutely, yeah. I'd love to explain a little bit more about that. Alice is a way to we can discuss the, you know, kind of what we call, you know, the invisible, you know, significant portion of our community that are struggling to get by. They don't make enough to cover the basics, but they have enough income that they're over the federal poverty level. So it's a really difficult place to be in, where you don't quite have enough to get by, but you make too much to really get all the assistance that could be available. So ALICE is an acronym that means Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. So like I said, these are people that are working, they have income, they're earning more than the federal poverty level, but they still don't have enough to get by. They're struggling to make ends meet. So these presentations that we're going to dive into what that looks like here in specifically in Wood County and Adams County that we serve, United Way of Southwood and Adams County. So obviously we want to dig into that and, and actually look at what that looks like in our community, not nationwide, to this, statewide to a lesser extent, but really in our specific communities.
It's one thing to, and I've looked over the report, and it's one thing to look at these numbers, but even if you're in the know, even if you're in touch with a lot of this, sometimes it can help to have a third party, somebody else kind of going over this with you. And then just the simple act of the conversation about Alice, I think, is vital to this too, let alone being able to give people like that have questions or, well, how did you come to this number? Or why is this happening? Or anything like that. I'm not saying that the United Way is going to be able to answer every single question you have, but that's part of the point of the presentation is, okay, this is a question. We don't have an answer. Let's figure out an answer as a community. Let's figure out this out. That's part of the goal and part of what the United Way is all about. I think sometimes when we talk about events or we talk about some of the great work you guys do, because you do such great work over there, it gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. The United Way is not there to save you. The United Way is there to help you. The United Way is there to be an asset to the community, be an addition to the community to help. We still got to do some work here. We can't expect the United Way to do all the heavy lifting. We've got to do some of that too. It's a add-on. It's something that benefits and enhances our community, but it can't be. You can't just sit there on your couch and expect everything to get done. You got to help out a little bit with this stuff. You've got to be, and part of that isn't always volunteering. It isn't always dropping off items. Sometimes it's being in the know. Sometimes it's understanding what Alice is, that the community is in this situation. And it may even be, oh, I'm Alice. I'm in this group. Chances are you probably are, and you don't even realize it sometimes. Some of that is part of being on the United Way side. Part of that is helping the United Way do the work that they're doing. It's not always volunteering and putting in dollars and cents. Sometimes it's being in the know.
Yeah, absolutely. Just talking about this, getting the information out there is a huge part of what can help change things. And a lot of people just they don't know because we hear things like the federal poverty level, the consumer price index, these things that we're kind of conditioned. We know what these are, and we see, for example, if we're talking about federal poverty level, that remains consistent 10-11% of our population, but we don't see the people who are just over that.
Yeah.
That really, because they are doing all the right, they're employed, they're working hard, they're doing their best to get by, and they just still can't get out of a situation because, the more income you make, the less, that you qualify for in terms of traditional assistance programs, so it's really difficult. And that's why United Way funds the 29 different partner programs that we fund in our community in the areas of education and financial stability, health, safety net services, all these programs that do exactly, they fill that need so that people can get by. Like you said, it's to help them to try and get them back on their feet or get them to a point where they can start preparing for the future and building those assets. And so they aren't living in a situation of crisis and, teetering on that edge of poverty.
There's a great line on the flyer here of Alice is your child care worker, cashier, home health aide, office assistant, or general laborer, all people who are essential to the success of our community and all people you run across every day. Every day you're walking past people that are under this board, are in the Alice group, are in Alice, are that group and such, and you yourself might even be. Can't encourage you enough to attend this program. It's going to be a good time, not only having this conversation, but I think that like a lot of United Way events, you're going to end up finding yourself learning and enjoying yourself more than you probably did expect to. And I encourage people to check this out. You can find out more by going to uwswac.org. We'll talk about this certainly as we're getting closer to the event as well here on our station and network and what we've got going on. And we'll touch on it, maybe even give them the details before we let you go today, Ben. Where did you want to go next?
Why don't we take a second to remind everybody that, when and where that is, just to make sure that pounding that drum. Our presentations are going to be coming up on Thursday, June 22nd at McMillan Library. And we have two options, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Will be the first presentation. And then we're coming back 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. For round two. And then on Tuesday, June 27th in Adams County at the Adams County Community Center from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m.
And it should encourage people to go to their website, uwswac.org. On their banner, they have United for Alice, and I encourage Alice and the Cross Currents. I encourage you to check that article out if you haven't already. Read up on that. It's a great way to understand not only what's going on in our community, how to better help our community, and what our community needs. And as well, again, that you may be under this Alice report, that you may be a part of. You may be Alice yourself, and it's important to find out and know these things. Speaking with Ben Eberlein, Ben, am I saying that right?
You know, I think you do. You can say whatever you can call
me. I
want
to get it right, man.
Whatever.
Is it Eberlein? Is it
Eberlein?
Eberlein. It is, yeah. Eberlein.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. It's not like it's the first time we've talked. I apologize.
See, it's just been too long.
Ben Ebiso. Ben is with us, Community Engagement Director with the United Way of South Van Ems Counties. And Ben and I were just talking about Alice. And if you don't mind, Ben, I would like to talk a little bit more about this. Because especially this stat that I saw on your flyer. In 2021, this family of four brought in $4,000, less than the minimum cost of basics. It was a number that I'm familiar with in my own life, but I was a little taken back by when I saw it. I had to read it twice. Thought it was quite an eye-catching number.
Yeah, it's pretty eye-opening, and that, I think, is one of the most succinct ways to really boil down what these presentations are going to dive into, is that information is our first look at what the pandemic years look like in terms of financial hardship and poverty in our community. So, like you said, in 2021, this family of four, so basically this is Wisconsin stats. This isn't, like I said earlier, this isn't national. This is Wisconsin, and that's a family of two adults who are working. You have an infant and a preschooler, so a pretty standard family of four. So what we're seeing in this data that we're finally getting, some of this information, like I said, this is from 2019 to 2021, and we're looking at the effect of, the pandemic and other economic factors, all these things that are, this number, this minus $4,000, essentially, that takes into account all of the extra bonuses and tax breaks and things that were available during that time. And there's, even despite that kind of stuff, we're still seeing that essentially the cost of basics, inflation, everything that we've been dealing with, that outweighed any of the benefits, any of the wage increases that we saw. And just to kind of drive things home, just looking at that same family. Now, if we look at the federal poverty level for that family, in 2021, it was only $26,500. Now, if we look at the actual cost of basics in Wisconsin, $61,476 for that same family to survive.
Wow.
So that's where, we're looking at, obviously, for what that family, that's $4,000 less than survival based on what their income is. But, we also see the effects of that, because if we're looking at outdated measures like the Consumer Price Index that is informing things like our federal poverty level, that's where we're so far behind. And that's where this Alice information is so important and so powerful, because it can give us a really, a much more accurate look at what poverty looks like, especially when we can zero in on Wood County and Adams County in Wisconsin. And we can look at the cost of just essentials, things like housing and childcare, food, transportation, healthcare. I mean, we're not looking at luxury goods and, the price. Yeah. So that's where this is so powerful, and we're able to see those kind of statistics. And like I said, it's just open the eyes.
You don't need a calculator to figure out there's a big difference in that price, in those numbers you gave us there. And the understanding of, inflation, a lot of this, everybody's dealing with a lot of these things. So there are going to be people that are going to look at that and say, well, I don't think that applies to me, or I don't know that that does. And that's why I'm encouraging people so much to attend this program and to take this event in, because not only are you, I think, going to be surprised by that, but I think you might be surprised by how many of your neighbors, how many other people are under this umbrella that are in the Alice realm and everything. And the more understanding, the more empathy we have with these things, not only is it give the United Way more tools to be able to put their funds and their assets into the places we most need them to, which the United Way does such a great calculated surgical job of, well, we got a lot of needs in this community. We can't take, we're only one organization. We can't take care of everything. But how can we do the most? How can we spread ourselves out where we're not spreading ourselves too thin, but we're affecting all these different things, reading, hunger, et cetera. And they, you do such a great job. You, Terry and the gang, you guys do a great job at that. But you're not able to just ask people this. It's reports, it's numbers, it's things like this that help you fine tune that and be so surgical with those. But then as a citizen, you have a more of an understanding, I think, not only of the empathy of your fellow neighbors, of your community, but for yourself of like, wow, they're not just saying this. My community really does need me. My neighbors really do need me. Or maybe I really need my neighbors. It giving you more understanding and more of an arsenal for that. There's so much that we can take from the Alice Report. And there's so much that you can learn from it through these the presentations that are coming up.
Yeah, it really is staggering too. And just looking at, you said it's unlikely that you don't know somebody that's Alice. When you look at the numbers, in 2019, 32% of Wood County households were making less than it took to survive. Jumped to 2021, and that number has skyrocketed to 40%. So that change from 32% of our households to 40% of Wood County households is the third largest percent change across all counties in Wisconsin.
That's staggering.
So it really is in that segment, that Alice population. Like I said, it's one of those things that it's real sneaky. We don't necessarily see it because it isn't tied to the federal poverty level. Yeah. So seeing that kind of growth there is one of those things that it's an eye opener that you said that you're gonna know somebody if it's. Unfortunately, I hope we can get that number down. If it's not you, it's definitely somebody that is likely a Alice household. But yeah, we want to make sure to connect with these people because it is, like I mentioned earlier, that all these things that we all experience, inflation. But the thing is, the fact is, we know that those challenges and factors affect and impact Alice households to a greater extent and mm-hmm. in a more severe degree than households who are earning above the Alice threshold.
Mm-hmm.
And they impact those households for longer. These are Alice households do not have savings or assets or ability to react to even a small emergency, much less a recession or the effect of what we saw during the pandemic. And that is, that's something that can, especially in a smaller community like this, can hang on. So,
one thing that you mentioned, Ben, that I thought was really noteworthy too, is that these are some of the first numbers we're getting from the after the pandemic.
Exactly.
And that's so vital to not only the work that you guys are doing, but the funding the governments are going to be putting in. So much of the wherever we're going in 2023, the rest of this in 2024, and et cetera, this is very important data for that. There's another thing that really came to me the last time Terry and I were talking about this, and I'm appreciative of the opportunity to bring it up because any chance that I can, I think one of the greatest friends you can have the older you get is perspective. Perspective is going to be one of those things that is going to help you out more times than not in life. And I got this from my mom and dad. I grew up, I've spent my whole life in Alice. My whole life I've spent as an Alice person. They didn't have a name for it, but growing up, right now even, I am Alice. I am a part of this. And I could very well have grown up in a household where it was just my mom and dad feeling sorry for themselves and just looking for a handout or anything. But I didn't grow up thinking we were this. I didn't grow up, but even though I was in that environment and I'm in the projects, all these things, I knew we didn't have a lot, but I never thought of us as poor or anything because for us, it was no big deal to go and help out at the soup kitchen. It was no big deal to spend some time talking to the homeless people that were sitting outside our high rise or something like that. It was just something my dad and I did or my mom and I did or whatever, because they were always making sure that we as kids knew we got it pretty good. There are people that got it a lot worse. And having that perspective cannot hurt. It can make a bad day good. It can do a lot of different things for you. And I'm not trying to make people feel good from other people's sadness or anything. I'm more so trying to create more empathy in our culture and our environment. I think Alice does that. I think this presentation does that. And I'm positive it does.
Yeah, I think, you know, another lesson to be learned from your experience too is just that when we do come together, you know, we can make a lot of things happen, and that's exactly what United Way is here for. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
I knew my mom liked you for a reason, Ben. I knew. She saw that connection there. Before we let you go, Ben, I did want to go over again the dates of this event real quick.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. So coming up this Thursday, June 22nd at McMillan Library, we've got ALICE presentations at 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then again at 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. We have another presentation in Adams County on Tuesday, June 27th at the Adams County Community Center from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m.
And is a registration required for this?
It's appreciated, but not required. So feel free to just pop right in. But yeah, otherwise, if you'd like, reach out to me, Ben, at United Way. You can give me a call or send me an email and let me know you're coming, or we'll just see you there.
And encourage you to reach out to Ben and the staff at the United Way with any volunteer needs that you have, or if you were looking to volunteer, you're not going to find many better opportunities than with our United Way. Ben, do appreciate the time. Say hi to everybody over there. I mean, don't say hi to Terry for me, but say hi to everybody else. I'm joking. Please do say hi to everybody over there. Appreciate you guys so much. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much.
You can find out more by going to uwswac.org. That is the United Way's website. Be sure to bookmark it, uwswac.org, and be sure to follow them on social media. It's a great follow and great way to keep up on your community. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow from 3 to 4 right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and WFHR.